The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Love, Marriage, and Business. Yes, it's possible to work with your spouse. Meet three couples who've mastered the art of succeeding together. Monique and Melvin Rodriguez, Meal Organics. For Monique and Melvin Rodriguez, business is booming. The two founded Meal Organics in 2014 and have helped to provide organic natural hair care options for Black women across the globe. Melvin, a former systems engineer for UPS, and Monique, a registered nurse, managed to turn their joint venture into a multi-million dollar business that recently closed a groundbreaking investment deal with Berkshire Partners, a Boston-based investment firm. It took a lot of blood, sweat, and tears for the couple, who started by creating products in their kitchen, basement, and garage to get where they are today. The key was to constantly innovate, so when they outgrew their first and second warehouses, they moved into a new one with a salon. Monique and I complement each other's work styles because we fundamentally respect each other, says Melvin. We recognize and value each other's talents and gifts. This allows us to operate and flourish as a family and as a business unit at a high level. When you have that foundation, you can do some extraordinary things together. The couple don't shrink from the challenges of merging marriage and business. Just like marriages have ups and downs, so do business relationships, notes Monique. Melvin and I don't see eye to eye on every aspect of Meal Organics, but we do share the same vision and goals. Those goals are to create a legacy for our family and for our children. So once we really tap into our why, we either come to an agreement or agree to disagree, she says. The only other challenge might be that sometimes when you are together all day, you don't have time to miss one another, says Monique. It is important to take that time away from each other at work so that when we go home, we can designate that time for us. The next couple, Kara and Khalil, Charm City Buyers. Kara and Khalil know a little something about the power of the Black dollar. The couple, who met while attending rival colleges, are building wealth through real estate in the city of Baltimore and teaching others how they can make the same impact within their own cities. The two realized they shared a passion for real estate and started saving toward investing right after graduation. They used the nest egg they had saved up to pay cash for their first property, a decision that would pay dividends in the long run. Together, they now own more than 20 properties in Maryland. We are great at balancing out each other's strengths and weaknesses, says Kyra. That balance means we can divide and conquer effectively, with managing multiple relationships, businesses, and everyday life. We are both so thankful to have a partner who's equally yoked and can pick up the slack on the days when the other person needs rest. Khalil suggests that the couple's biggest challenge is also their greatest strength. We can have a shared goal, but two completely different approaches or perspectives on how to accomplish it, he explains. For us, communication is key to negotiating and compromising our way to success. The next couple is Yolanda and Rick Williams, Distinct Life. Entrepreneurs Yolanda and Rick Williams are the visionaries behind some of the biggest brands in Detroit. Their partnership started in 2004 when the two got married while still attending Oakland University. Together, they now run their creative agency, Distinct Life, with projects that range from consulting and social media management to serving as creative directors for the revitalization of the historic Hotel St. Regis, Detroit. But Distinct Life is not the couple's only business. Back in 2013, Yolanda created a natural skincare line called Cream Blends UC in their kitchen. She continues to work on that brand full-time as its owner and operator with Rick, who is the chief creative officer. "We know how to stay in our lanes," Yolanda says, "and we focus on the things that we are good at." Adds Rick, "When you're running a small business, it's not like we clock out at 5 p.m. and we're done with work. You have to achieve the right work-life balance. So now we find ways of balancing our personal relationship, spending time with our children, and making sure that our life isn't consumed 24 hours with business." Married for 18 years, Rick and Yolanda Williams launched their business in 2004. The next article is titled, "The Rise of the Black is Beautiful Revolution." It's been 60 years since the seminal cultural identity mantra was born. On this significant anniversary, we honor a watershed movement in Black history. It was not common in the 1950s to witness Black women rocking their natural hair. Before that point, wigs were the popular style choice, as afros were frowned upon in the workplace, and the widespread sentiment of the time was that natural Black hair was unprofessional, unruly, and unacceptable. But this didn't sit well with a particular group of young pro-Black artists who were part of a collective known as the African Jazz Art Society and Studies, AJASS. Advocating a different standard of beauty, they staged a fashion show in Harlem in 1962, led by a troupe of Black women wearing their natural hair and African-inspired designs. Together, they proposed to send a resounding and revolutionary message to the masses. Black is beautiful. The production was officially titled Naturally 62. The original African and fashion extravaganza designed to restore our racial pride and standards. The women in the show were known as the Grandassa Models, a name inspired by the word Grandassa Land, which Black nationalist Carlos Cooks used to refer to Africa. The models were everyday Black women from Harlem, educators, homemakers, and activists who unabashedly reflected the beauty of Black people's skin, full lips, curvy figures, and iconic afros. They exuded pride in their natural features and, in doing so, vividly represented the power and appeal of Blackness. "Black is Beautiful" became the show's slogan, and it was soon printed in big, bold letters across promotional posters, flyers, and other paraphernalia. Word of the event spread quickly, and when the night arrived, large crowds clustered outside Purple Manor, a popular Harlem nightclub that served as the venue. Some AJSS members were convinced that many of the attendees had come to laugh and heckle, because the concept of Black women modeling their natural hair with dignity seemed unimaginable to them at the time. However, a different narrative was introduced that night. The evening ended with standing ovations from people impressed by what they had never experienced or seen before, a defining and dynamic display of Black pride and talent. At the moment, on January 28, 1962, the Black is Beautiful movement was born. In the decades that followed, the Black is Beautiful message spread far and wide as the naturally fashioned shows became sold-out events, staged year after year in cities across the country. Much of the momentum of the movement was powered by the striking photographs of legendary photographer Kwame Brathwaite. His influential images chronicled the evolution of the naturally shows as well as the full glory of the women featured in them, helping to catapult Black is Beautiful to new levels and cement its pioneering attitudes. My father's legacy is that he was always looking to show us in our power, in our regal nature, and as our best selves, says Kwame S. Brathwaite, the photographer's son, who now directs the Kwame Brathwaite Archive. He understands the beauty, the strength, the power, and the intelligence, the endurance, and the greatness of who we are. The elder Brathwaite, now 84 and retired, has always upheld a commitment to communicate and celebrate why Black is inherently beautiful. It is why he co-founded AJASS with his brother Elombe Brath in 1956 and worked with fellow Black artists and activists to establish the Grandassa Models Group a few years later. What my uncle and father and AJASS members did in creating the Grandassa Models Group was support and show women they are beautiful exactly as they are and that we have to embrace who we are. The younger Brathwaite says, people thought Black is Beautiful was simply about beauty, but really it was about self-love. The group exemplified this in a revolutionary way by calling themselves African and Black at a time when Black people were self-identifying as colored or Negro. It was a powerful, self-determining choice of words as it not only transformed people's perception of themselves, but also forever changed America's racial vernacular. Ultimately, the work AJASS led was designed to dismantle the influence of the white gaze, build a bridge that connected us back to Africa, and promote Black empowerment and economic independence as core tenets of the Pan-African ideals the group espoused. During many of the naturally shows, models were photographed wearing signs that read Think Black and Buy Black, the later being a concept coined by Cooks himself. These messages gathered momentum as art, politics, and music were converging at a particularly potent moment in history. Black is Beautiful went on to become the backdrop of the burgeoning Black arts movement of the mid-1960s. It has been described as the visual force driving the Black Power movement into the 70s. The Black is Beautiful movement predates and became the foundation of a lot of these other movements. The younger Brathwaite explains, they were all steeped in the same idea of embracing who you are. Black is Beautiful. Black arts and Black power were three different paths to the same goal of loving yourself and fighting for what's right. Decades later, Black is Beautiful continues to inform and influence today's activism and to inspire self-pride. It's evolved into much more than a catchphrase. It is a commandment, a guiding principle, a resounding affirmation. It has been championed by celebrities like Rihanna, Jesse Williams, and Alicia Keys, and it has fed the success of present-day political initiative, such as the passing of the Crown Act, which prohibits hair discrimination in the workplace, as well as cultural movements like Black Girl Magic, Black Boy Joy, and even Afrofuturism. One of the things someone said about my father's work is that he was creating this Black utopia. And I think that's the foundation of the Black Futurism movement, where you are this being who gets to exist without all of the oppression. Brathwaite says, drawing a direct line from the collective vision behind the Black is Beautiful movement, you get to just be who you are. Nothing could possibly be more beautiful than that. The next article is titled Black Love, Inspiring Stories from Couples Young and Old, Proving That We Are Even Greater Together. The first couple is Yannick and Rondell Holder. Rondell Holder believes that international travel is one of the greatest litmus tests to measure the strength of a romantic relationship, as it exposes a person's core. You learn what's important to them, their fears, how they spend money, says the founder of Travel Concierge Global Royalty. You learn the best and worst of people because you're put in so many situations outside of your norm. Before hopping a flight for their first trip together, Rondell and Yannick, both 37, were friends at Temple University. Travel, however, fast-tracked their relationship and allowed them to forge a deeper connection. Yachting and island hopping, Rondell and Yannick have similar travel styles, skipping skydiving and nightlife for other adventures. They're all about immersing themselves in the culture, eating mouth-watering cuisine, and retiring to luxurious rooms in Accra, Ghana, Capri, Italy, and Tulum, Mexico. And then there's the water. The couple married for 5 years both love warm waters that connect to their Caribbean roots. He's Grenadian and she's Jamaican. But Rondell wasn't a swimmer at first. So when Yannick would hop off the boat to swim with turtles or snorkel among fish, Rondell would stay put on the boat. But Yannick wasn't comfortable with that pattern. Ron is my best friend, she explains. I wanted him to be out in the water with me. For his first swim lesson, we were in California, and we hit the pool early. I had him swimming within a week. It took a little longer for Rondell to get comfortable in the ocean, recalling the day that he fully embraced his sea legs, Yannick says. I didn't know if it was the rum punches that made him brave, because he wouldn't go past the shoreline before. But that day, my man put his feet up and floated out to the deep. Now they leap into new adventures at sea, always side by side. The next couple, Lainey and Reese. It still goes down in the DMs. Love that is. During the pandemic, Reese Scott's DMs were popping. But it didn't matter, as Reese, 49, had given up on finding love. Entrepreneurship kept the owner of Women's World of Boxing on Harlem's East Side busy, and after learning to love herself, she refused to settle for an ordinary relationship. Who's going to love me at this stage of my life, the way I deserve to be loved? She recalls thinking, who'll have the patience? In July 2020, the universe answered in the form of an Instagram direct message from Grant's manager, Lainey, who, unbeknownst to Reese, had been playing Instagram detective, trying to figure out if Reese was single. Lainey was tired of dead-end relationships and ready for something real. Not only did she find Reese attractive, but Reese seemed to be available, and they shared friends on social media. Lainey decided to send Reese a brief message, It was very general because I have no flirt in me, says the 46-year-old. I'm a bit scared when it comes to anything like that. What Lainey did possess was a warm heart, good conversation, patience, and a desire to be married. That first social media exchange led to a six-hour phone call, which inspired Reese to drive from Harlem to Chicago in September 2020 to meet Lainey. Reese wanted to make sure they didn't have cousin vibes in person. Fortunately, they didn't. When I first met Lainey, I felt at home, she recalls now. And the first morning I woke up next to her, I felt like I'd arrived where I was supposed to be. After that, things moved quickly for the happy couple. Reese popped the question in Malibu in November 2020, and their wedding is set for July 2022, 2 years from the date of that life-changing first DM. The next couple is Naomi and Keir Gaines. Millennial family content creators Naomi and Keir Gaines have drawn almost every adorable hashtag, including hashtag relationship goals and hashtag love goals in the social media universe. But they aren't big fans of those labels, as they believe they are not realistic. Those hashtags celebrate the paycheck, but not the hours you gotta grind to make the money, says Keir, 35, a mental health professional. It gives people an unrealistic expectation of what love is supposed to look like. Oh, Keir was a jerk, Naomi, an intellectual property lawyer, teases about the previous incarnation of her husband of 2 years. She confesses that since their marriage, his growth and mindset when it comes to their relationship have made her fall for him even harder. Still knowing the power of their social media platform, Naomi, 32, will sometimes post an Instagram photo to remind followers of the difference between rom-com love and real sustainable love. It's hard to believe the DC-based couple folks turn to for therapy, healing, and practical relationship gems started as a situationship when Naomi was in law school. But even now, instead of tossing a filter over flaws in their union, they are honest about the work needed in order to be transparent about their past lives. Becoming a therapist himself was a game changer for Keir, a proud member of the Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated. On their YouTube show, the Sit Down Talk Relationship Series, the couple shares life with daughter Emery and a new baby on the way. It's easy for viewers to think they knew everything about Keir and Naomi because they reveal so much of themselves online, but not everything is for public consumption. We are pretty private people, says Naomi. Most of what we share are from therapeutic breakthroughs in our relationship. We prioritize our relationship first. Keir agrees. I always joke and say we give people 100% of 10% of us, he says. For me, it's not about how much we share, it's about what we share. There are parts of family life that will always be very private, that belong just to us, and that, he says, is a real hashtag love goal. The next couple is Maddie and Chris James, partnership on every level. You cannot plant and harvest in the same season. 10 years ago, Maddie and Chris James struggled with that lesson. Despite their best efforts to build, they faced a string of unfortunate events. They suffered 2 miscarriages, their electricity was cut off, their car was repossessed. At the time, Maddie was finding her voice as a lifestyle blogger, and Chris had quit his job so they could better monetize her content. It took a while for their season of abundance to manifest, but when it did, the Georgia-based couple reaped wonderful rewards: three adorable kids, big brand deals, and the opportunity for Chris to become COO of the couple's million-dollar lifestyle business. Throughout the setbacks, Chris and Maddie worked together tirelessly to find their flow. Alignment is ongoing, and it's not a destination. It's a journey, says Maddie, 37, an influencer and entrepreneur. If we feel off, we schedule a session with our therapist. That's our new default. We understand that not everything is going to be easy. Both of their parents have been married for 41 years. After watching those examples of long-term commitment, Maddie and Chris realized that every couple is unique. There's no fairy tale, says Chris, 38. There's no happily ever after. People are like, marriage is hard. And I'm like, what's not hard? What's not tough? I'd rather take my hard stuff with somebody who wants to work with me to make things better. The couple, who met back in the day on the social networking site MySpace, continue to speak with each other's love language as husband and wife, parents, and business partners. Chris is a designer and enjoys strategizing and executing, while Maddie handles communications. She's great at talking. She's very good at writing. She's great at motivating, says Chris. With their hashtag Team Us approach, there's no competition in the James household. Everybody wins. The next article is titled Pulmonary Embolism Explained. A cardiologist tells us what we need to know to prevent a life-threatening blood clot in the lungs. I didn't get up and walk around enough, Jade recalls of a 14-hour flight she took, one that ended with her being diagnosed with deep vein thrombosis, DVT, which are clots in the deep veins of the legs and arms. After struggling to breathe, Jade, then 27, eventually went to the emergency room, where she learned DVT clots have traveled to her lungs, causing a pulmonary embolism, PE. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Thank you.